The Alpha Sessions. Hello everyone and welcome to The Alpha Sessions. I'm Lucy Rowe and today I'm here with Lara Ziff.
Hello.
Welcome, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm glad now that the weather has cooled down.
Oh really? I love a hot weather. I do. I know that we're all always complaining about the heat, but I love it. Anyway, excited to have you on the show.
Yes.
Tell us a bit for people who haven't seen you before, haven't heard your music before. Where did you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
And what were your beginnings in music?
So I grew up in a little town called Hertfordshire. And my family really are quite musical in on my mum's side, but like going back a while, my mum's aunt and uncle were both like really musical growing up. One was in like West End shows back in like the 1900s. And also my great aunt, so my mum's aunt, she was like a really big singer, and I believe she played with a guy called Frankie Vaughan back in the day. But so she that's kind of like where it stems from, if we're going really far back. Pretty much as I grew up, as for sort of the age of like seven, my sister, who's a bit of an inspiration to me, she was always singing, and she started taking lessons and everything. And basically, when I was like old enough to realize I like singing, I was like, oh, I want singing lessons too. So pretty much it was all from there. I was brought up with a lot of different music around me, so lots of like soul and jazz, R&B, but pop as well. My parents are big music lovers, and also that sort of musical love was stemmed in like my mum, really, because she used to sing growing up, and my auntie as well. So I was always like brought up around that vibe of we love music. And yeah, I can remember like my grandfather, who used to live in Spain, we would go there as kids and there'd be like my mum would like get up and sing, and it was like really cute. And we just, it's always been around me. So that's kind of, it was inevitable that I was going to fall into it. But then really, I kind of, really started to take it seriously as, I got older. I started secondary school, started singing lessons, kind of progressed with that. Then, funnily enough, when I started in year seven, my form room was the music room and they had keyboards. So I said, instead of, form time sitting there, like, I don't know, messing around with my friends or going on my phone, I want to go sit at the keyboard with headphones on. So I did that. And basically, from age 12, I just tried to sort of start teaching myself how to play keys, and was, progressing in my singing, did some grades and exams and stuff, and then realized sort of at age 15, I can put this together and I can write. And always was very into like the ballady sort of stuff, like Adele, Christina Aguilera, Alicia Keys, all like the classics, and always knew I wanted to like sing big songs. And pretty much finished sort of like year 11 and then went to college and did like a music like BTEC, and just from there I like was in like bands, and we did all different modules, like we were discussing earlier about like uni and stuff, songwriting, recording, production, business as well. And then alongside that, a couple of years before that, I actually did this gig in a local place to me, and I met this amazing guy who was a producer, and he sort of became like my mentor over the years. It was really like coincidental how we met, and to this day he's still like an amazing friend of mine, like family friend. And he he's like mentored me over the years, so really kind of shown me what I can really achieve in the industry. And it was a great guide really when I left school to be like, okay, I can actually pursue a music career without just waiting to win the X Factor or something like that. So I'd say the last few years have really just been me writing material, discovering my sound, finally got over the release anxiety and released my first single in 2023, but have really just kind of been behind the scenes, doing lots of gigs and just writing. And and now I'm just currently developing my sound as I'm going, but also just trying to just like write as much as I can, and that's kind of the journey so far.
Wonderful. I mean, it sounds like it's gone back a long way, and these things do affect you when you have that far back and you think like, oh, like 1900s, that's just not associated, but it's all roll forward, you're surrounded by all this music as well and these influences. But let's talk more about developing your sound. Where what kind of spurred you on in the last few years to start releasing, get over that anxiety. And I know you played your Rosé for us today.
Yeah,
so we will get to that in more detail. But what was that journey like, discovering what you wanted to make and sort of realising an identity, an artistic identity?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I'm currently still on that journey. I think it will always be ongoing. But a turning point for me was when I sort of went from realising in maybe the earlier years, sort of while I was at college, what kind of sound I really enjoy. Now, I've always known vocally from a perspective what I really enjoy, which is like the soulful kind of big, like almost like jazzy ballady vocal stuff. But then I was like, okay, what can I partner that with? And you know, based on the skill set I had, I was like, okay, I can put these big chords with it and I can play this kind of ballady stuff. But then sort of as I, you know, left college from age like, let's say, 18 to like 21, I thought, I need to sort of, you know, go back to the drawing board and figure out, you know, how to make my music a bit more commercially viable. And basically was like, okay, let's record a song that I wrote, which actually was Rosé, and let's see what we can do with the production. Let's build it. And with Nick, my amazing mentor and producer, we spent a good couple of years. We almost built like an EP. We built like a collection of four songs where we took what I do on the keys and we added production. So that sound almost became, I'd say, yeah, quite soulful, but like live band feel. But it was amazingly produced because it was like, you know, digital. I had the keys as the bass, but then we had bass and guitar around that and drums. And then I feel like really COVID was something that kind of put a bit of a spanner in the works with my plan. Mm. But it was almost a blessing in disguise because it delayed me releasing that. But in a way, it was kind of good because it allowed me to kind of see and develop my sound further to the point where once I eventually released Rosé in 2023, it was like, okay, I'm going to put this out. But that is then going to be the starter to be followed by my other stuff, which is now more current. Mm. So a couple of the other songs I played earlier, they are more current. And I think just even with like skill development with my keys, I've been able to kind of learn the chords and learn the soulful sort of 7th and 11th chords that I wanted to kind of bring to my sound. But then another big turning point was last year. I was very excited to finally get a band together because I've always wanted a band to basically unrestrict my writing, if that makes sense. Because when you're sort of sat at your keys, there's only so many styles that you can write in, especially seeing as I'm self-taught. I can't jump around like Miles Davis, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I basically was desperate to have like guitar and bass with me and then drums at some point to really see what I can explore. And now I can confidently say my sound has leveled up. Mm-hmm. And I don't think my releases reflect that currently, but that's because I'm you know, working on a bunch of them. But yeah, I've really feel like I've finally achieved that soulful R&B, neo-soul, jazzy flavour. So that's been quite a big, big development in the last, like, 18 months or so. So, yeah.
I want to pick up on something you said in that, is developing a commercial, almost like a brand.
Okay,
which is interesting because there's this kind of balance to strike, I feel like, with independent artistry, where you're always, you want to be out there as a brand because you know that it's part of it. You have to accept that sometimes, depending on what kind of, you know, industry you want to be in.
Yeah.
But how is that for you, kind of not treating yourself as a product, but also being present in a commercial way? How do you strike that balance of keeping the soul in there, literally?
Literally.
But also with being a brand as well?
Well, I'd say, to be honest with you, in the last couple of years and my previous employment, I feel like I was exposed to the very current, like, commercial modern day music industry, which made me, you know, question a few things within my brand. And what I've always known is that whilst I appreciate the talent and the artistry in the, like, current, like, modern pop world, for me, that's not what I am. And I've always been, you know, aware of, you know, staying authentic to myself. But still being able to put music out there, I mean, my key goal with my music is I want people to resonate. I want people to listen to my music and be like, wow, that's triggered a feeling in me. I do write for myself, but I also want to write universally for an audience. So I'd say the whole, obviously, with, you know, the rise of social media and all of that in the last few years, it has been, it's like you've got a mirror in front of you all the time, and you are constantly looking at every single element of yourself, both externally and internally. And for me, it's been a bit of like a, you know, a hard pill to swallow, having to kind of battle with all these things in your mind, all these anxieties and all these different thoughts of, okay, am I suitable to this, this or this? Which box do I fit in? And I've kind of come to the conclusion that I'm going to make my own box and I'm just going to kind of go with what I know is my best music and hope that there are people out there that will resonate and love it as much as I do. And I think I've still always got it in the back of my head of, okay, as a brand and to actually market myself, I think I've developed some good skills and I think I'm learning every single day. And being an artist in this day and age in 2025, you do have to be like a business, right? So there are so many things that come with that, you know, managing all your admin and then the social media stuff. But I don't think I will ever just fall into being a commercial, like just poppy sort of like, you know, artist that falls in the same category as everyone else, because I don't think I ever will, because I'm just me. And yeah, but I do think, you know, songwriting's a different thing, you know, in terms of artistry, that's definitely what I want to be me. But, you know, songwriting, that's not to say I'd never, you know, look at writing in a really like commercial sort of style. But yeah, it's hard to battle with like getting that recognition and then also being true to yourself as you are.
No words to say. The Alpha Sessions.
Let's go more into songwriting, because I really want to hear about your processes. And I mean, with the first one, I think he's unreleased, Radio Silence.
Yep. Two of them are unreleased, yep.
Interesting. I love an unreleased performance on Alpha Sessions. So tell me about the process for writing Radio Silence. Where is it at the moment, and where did it begin, that kind of thing?
So Radio Silence was pretty much, I mean, in terms of storyline, the meaning behind the song is when you are super busy in your life and you have that special person, and it could be anyone, it could be a friend, family member, partner. You know, when life's like so busy, you don't always get that time to check in with one another in the day, but you know that you don't need to have those everyday conversations to know that your spark, if you like, is always there. Yeah. Your connection's always there. And I found that being in a really busy job last couple of years, that I felt out of touch, and that this song just came to me sort of one evening. I was like, I just want to hone in on how lucky I am to have that connection with someone where you can have literal radio silence, but that you always know that that connection's there. And that could be even with a friend. Like, it doesn't matter how long you haven't seen that friend for. They don't have to be in your back pocket to know you've got a really close friendship. So that was kind of the story inspo for that. But in terms of writing, I'd thrown together these chords and the melodies sort of come. I usually sort of lead like that, come up with some chords and hum the melody. And the lyrics just kind of came, really, and then it became Radio Silence because I couldn't think of a better way to say the feeling of what I was trying to explain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's kind of a thing, it's a very relatable thing, I think, that is worth getting out there. And is that something you try and resonate with people, as you just mentioned?
Yeah.
Is that something you think about while you're songwriting? Is it an active thought of, like, this is a thing I'm passionate about, but also I think people are going to get this? Or is it just that songs, they just come out the way they are, you know, unplanned?
I feel like, again, and this ties into the sort of commercially thing, right? Because I think I've got to the point where I will always lead with what I'm feeling and what I need to write about. But I think what happens, and this is just based on, I guess, a sort of an unconscious habit of trying to stay relatable, it's like I'll subconsciously know that I want that idea. I'll review the idea, like, subconsciously be like, okay, could someone relate to this? If it's a bit niche or a bit left field, then I'll be like, you know what, I'll write the song, but maybe I'll keep it for me. But I kind of feel like, as I'm going, again, like, I will scribble down what I scribbled down, and maybe at the end of it, I'll come back and be like, okay, how can I make that sound a bit less directly personal? And I'll kind of go with that. But I think I'd like to think that, let's just say, I'm not just a breakup songwriter. You know what I mean? I do try to make them, let's just say, I don't really go out of my way to think of what's a song idea I can come up that's really, really niche and left field. But for me, it's like, usually the stuff I write about is quite, it could be varied, it could be whatever. But yeah, I'd say that I lead with, firstly, what I really want to talk about, but then the lyrics will come after, and any adjustments. I will always, I have like a balance of myself and an audience in my mind, you know? Like, could someone relate to this kind of thing?
Yeah, but I think that's also important, especially in a pop and soul sphere. Like, there's a lot of that balance to be had, because it's about that, speaking to people and that's having that community and stuff.
Yeah,
but do you also do songwriting for others, or is that something you would do?
I have briefly dabbled in that. I've done like a couple of songwriting camps in the past, like for commercial briefs, and I actually enjoy it. I quite like the idea of not having control of what to write. I do enjoy it, and I just think I love songwriting in general. I like the process, I like seeing a finished product. But majority has been for me.
I just love the idea of, like, I mean, vocal production as well, as the same, or being a session vocalist, or I don't know if you do stuff like that as well, being a backing vocalist. And I feel like it kind of ties into making your own music as well, because then working with other people influences what you do for 100%. songwriting, or even if it's just a commercial thing you do once. It must sort of play into that. I think you did mention earlier taking stuff to a band or to a producer, and then suddenly, because you can only go so far with some ideas.
Exactly.
So how do things, we can talk about the second song actually with time, that's also unreleased. Do you have visions of where it will go, like where you want to take it, and you take it to a producer and say, I've got this little song, and you play it to them and then develop from there? How do you usually work?
It's funny you mentioned time, because I actually have a really relevant, like, recent story on that song, because that's exactly what I did.
Oh, nice.
Time was a song that was quite special for me. I wrote it on keys, obviously, and it was always sort of solo stripped back, and I have a very good friend who is an incredible musician and producer as well. And I was just sort of like pondering, and I was like, okay, I know I want to release this song, but I don't want to just release like an unplugged live stripped back version. I want to give it something. And I had an idea. I had a couple of reference tracks and I thought, yeah, it's giving this vibe. And then basically I brought it to my friend and I said, look, I feel like we're very like, what's the word, in tune with like ideas that we get in terms mm-hmm. of style. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just want to see what vision you could give this. So I didn't, it's like I had a rough vision, but I wasn't too fussed on like what it would come yeah. out as. And so I brought it to him and we basically worked through it. And let's just say it grew and developed into the exact thing I imagined I wanted it to be. And I'm so over the moon with it. And that was, I guess, the real sort of first example of taking a song and just being like, let's see what happens. Whereas with a couple of the others that I've released with my producer Nick, we just kind of built the song in more of a live way and added the instruments kind of as you would. And that was also a really interesting experience, but again, as I mentioned, like with COVID and stuff, it was kind of like a trial and error, whereas this one with time was kind of like it happened the way it was supposed to. So that one is I'm really happy with that, and that will be coming out soon.
Alpha Sessions.
I was looking back through some of your Instagram and, you know, online things.
A little
and I do proud
got to admit. Got to be done.
And you did tease when you were playing with your band, I think it was December last year, you did a video where you were rehearsing and you said, like, I think it's time for some new music. Next year is going to be some stuff.
Okay.
And then in March time, you said, like, maybe a single. Maybe I'm going to release a single. But nothing is confirmed.
Yeah.
So can you confirm anything?
So really, let's just say I took a bit of a change in plan in what I was going to do because I was a bit stuck on, like, I had, like, band stuff. Well, I say band stuff, new material of mine, but with the band. And I was very much like, okay, I've got this, but then I've got this song that was sort of like finished around March. And I was like, okay, now I need to figure out release strategy and like what's going to kind of come first. And I'll be honest, like I am in the process of trying to like really draw out a plan. Because that's the thing, sometimes you can have like all these songs sort of in the works, but to actually sit down and like nail a plan is sometimes the hardest part, which is something that I admit I do always need help with. So currently that is still the one that is going to be coming out soon. But I had to kind of figure out, I think I just got distracted by the band stuff, loved it so much that this kind of release took a bit of a backseat. And I was like, okay, it's going to come out at the right time. Then I was like, don't want to kind of like go, what's the word, like coincide with the summer period and stuff like that, because that's usually for like, I don't know, the OB3 kind of stuff. And then I was like, okay, I need to be wary of, that's the thing with releasing, there's so many things to think about. But in short, that song is very much coming out. I've just had to figure out the best schedule for it, and the band stuff as well coinciding with that. Let's just say literally I've just been doing a lot of writing, figuring out what I want to put out, because I think once you get a song prepared for release, it's like, that's great, but then it's like figuring the strategy out.
Yeah,
after
everything else.
And everything else.
A lot of people don't realize that part.
That's
as well.
That's it. And like it's all well and good being like, yeah, oh Laura, you've played this song and that song, when's it coming out, and it's just kind of like, it's just about figuring out the strategy. Yeah. Especially with the sound and the style, because time is one sort of sound, and it's not gonna be that the band stuff is like completely different sound, but I just want it to be in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, mm-hmm. it's been fun gigging and, you know, like with the band and doing songs that are just, I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
But then still having my like solo strip back vibe as well. And I do plan on having the band accompany me with like that song and others as well, to see what that would be like.
Yeah. And with time being the upcoming and the future project we're looking forward to, the last song you played was your debut.
Yeah.
We mentioned it earlier, Rosé.
Yeah, Rosé.
How is working on strategy now?
Yeah.
How different does that feel to your first ever, your debut release? Because I mean, there might be people listening to this who are gearing up for their first ever release, you know, and looking for tips and things like that. So how did you take on that debut compared to how you feel now as well with doing time?
Wow. I mean, yeah. The debut release, let's just say it was a long time coming. It was 2023. I thought it was going to be 2020 because of COVID and because of lockdown and everything. It did push me back, but it almost happened for a reason, because I don't think I was not only so much ready, but I don't think I was as geared up for what was to come. And it had a lot to do with my previous employment. Actually, I was working for a really great music company, and I was sort of exposed to all the business stuff, and it actually taught me a lot. So it was almost like a blessing in disguise that by the time I started, I was ready to put the single up. I had all this great knowledge I'd like quite quickly picked up, and that helped me. Whereas I think I was just so desperate to get my name on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I had been saying it since like 2017. And that is probably the year I really started to take like my songwriting and stuff seriously, like after college and stuff. But then, you know, Nick sort of helped keep me in check of like, okay, it's not just about putting a song out and having it out there. What comes next? And that is me. I'm very like, on the spot, like, let's do this. And then, you know, I need to think of, you know, the future plans. So that is the difference in what would have happened if I'd released, you know, in 2020 as opposed to 2023. But even that, looking back, doing what I did in 2023, I look back and think of all the things I now do differently and will plan to do differently with time, for example. And that goes, you know, that includes, you know, for a start, like the campaign, the marketing campaign, the social media. I think my view on content is different and it's changed. I mean, 2023, I released the song in, was it May 2023? You know, that's 2 years ago. So not only is lots of things have changed since then, I wasn't as big on TikTok and now I am, and I'm using it more. And there's so many different things I will do now with the release. Even I haven't released a song for over a year. And the last song I did release, Illusion, which again is, I didn't play that one today, but that was a collab with my great friend, Renee, who's an amazing producer. That was very like the R&B sort of sound. And that was a really cool experience. And that basically, that release strategy kind of just came naturally because it was just like, I know what I need to do. I think it is about having a vision for your campaign because it depends on the story of the song. And I think that circles around, I mean, the aesthetic of it, the image, the kind of content. You know, if it's like a bright, upbeat song, you want, like, you think about visuals, you think about colours, you want, you have to think about the release period. But with time, what I'm hoping for, because I don't want to give too much away, is that it will tie in well to what I have planned now. And I'm happy that it's been a bit delayed as opposed to me doing it a couple of months ago, because it wouldn't have worked as well as it will, I'm hoping. So, yeah, so lots. But again, every release you're learning, you're always learning. And I'm very much like, I will take things on the chin, be like, yep, I need to do that better next time, this better that time, you know.
And how do you feel with that in mind about the way your songwriting has developed as well? Like when you listen back to Rosé, compared to playing Time and, you know, trying to think about that strategy and that campaign, do you sometimes feel like, oh, Rosé, that's the old me? Or are you quite fond of it, you know? Because I think we've all got that little part of us. It's like, oh, bury that, don't show anyone. But equally, it's kind of sweet, though.
That is exactly it. I'll be honest. That really is exactly it. Let's just say, in terms of the writing, I'm happy with it. You know, I'm happy it's out there. And as I always say, yes, I do see it as the old me, but everyone has to have a starting point. Yeah. I couldn't have started my release journey without having something out there. I think I saw John Mayer a couple of years ago at the O2, and even he got up and literally said, I'm gonna do Is It Your Body Is a Wonderland, but I'm a bit like, this is not my favorite, but I'm gonna do it, in a way to say, you know, look how far he's come from then. But everyone has their first songs, and you need them, and I guess over time you start to nurture them and you love them, and that is how I feel about Rosé even today. You know, playing a stripped back version of it minus my pedal issue, it was like, you know, it was quite nostalgic. And the song itself, without going too much into what it's about, I wrote it at a time in my life that is so different to now. I was literally 19. I wrote it like, I'd say like 2017, 2018. And every time I play it, it is a revisit. It's not like a dark, horrible memory I don't want to visit. But for me, in terms of writing and ability and technique, oh yeah, it's I've leveled up, let's put it that way.
But equally, as you said right at the beginning of our chat, like, it's connecting with other people as well, and if that song will continue to be found out there thanks to all of the internet progress that we've made, then it will resonate with new people all the time. And even if you feel further from it, some people might get closer to it, so it's sort of like all comes back round, doesn't it?
Yeah, which is lovely. And to be fair, that's what I have the comfort in, and also another reason why, even though in the past I've been a bit silly on a bad day and been like, oh, should I take it down? No, because hopefully one day when I have real fans, they will be able to go back and scale back and be like, oh, that was early day Lara.
Yeah.
And you've got to start somewhere. It's you know, like with anyone, any other musicians that I love, I go back in the discography and I look years ago and I'm like, I love this. Maybe they hate it, but I love it. And that's what I think. So I just kind of keep on with that. But I'm proud of all my songs, and all the stories are very relevant, you know. Mm. So, yeah.
You've got to keep on keeping on. And it sounds like you've got a lot of exciting things coming out. Even though you're not going to tell me. You're not going to tell me when.
There's a plan in progress, and I'm just trying to get my, like, you know, ducks in a row. But it's all going in the right direction, and yeah, I'm very excited.
Yes, and we're very excited. I hope you let us know so that we can 100% share it out around.
Yeah.
And if anyone listening now or watching now wants to find you, how best to find you on the internet? What do they search?
So literally Instagram. It's just Lara Ziff Music, and across other socials as well, Lara Ziff. And I'm just going to spell it because it sounds a bit like, you know, it's L-A-R-A. Okay, so it's Lara, not Laura. And it's Ziff, Z-I-F-F. And yeah, that is my name and my stage name and everything. That is my born and bred name. And on Spotify as well, just literally Lara Ziff, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all the streaming platforms, the same. And yeah, that is how to find me.
So you know what to do, everybody. If you want to see Lara live as well, or listen to music, see what's coming up, keep in touch, then be sure to look her up.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming in.
No, very my pleasure. Nice. Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely talking.
It's just another rainy day. Oh, how I love all the sun to shine. It's just another lazy day. Wish I was feeling a number 9. Maybe I could get up and go walking, or maybe get dressed up and go dancing, or maybe I should just take a drive to clear my mind somewhere, somewhere like the seaside. But all I wanna do is just be with you. Baby, I need someone to sweep me off my feet.